Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
Welcome to another edition of Blokes on the Bench. Sorry we were off last week, but we're right back to it. We got three, I guess, weeks, even though it's been 7 days, of sort of results to get through. So what we'll do is we'll kind of blast through last weekend's and then kind of more detail into what we've just been through, because it's definitely important, especially with the results that we've had, to kind of elaborate on anything. Last weekend, you had a point to make about last weekend, Ryan, about
the... the Saturday was six fixtures, and it was the most goals scored in a six-game Saturday in Premier League history. Wow. I think it was like 29 goals in six games, which is just redonkulous, really. Yeah.
Swansea scored three, not giving up three.
I know, hey?
Well, they were right back to their ways this weekend.
Yeah,
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. So where you want to start at?
All right, well, start at the beginning of last week. Leicester City versus Man City. This was a surprise result, and I remember texting you guys when I saw it, and I was kind of like, did I time warp back to, like, last season? 4-2 against Man City. I mean, they were...
I wasn't that surprised. We spoke about, after the City-Chelsea game, having their two real key players get sent off and obviously going to be away now. I think Aguero got a 4-game ban and Fernandinho got a 3-game ban. And they did look weak. Like, their spine wasn't very good in that game. And the weather was absolutely lashing it down, weren't it? And Vardy, you know, back at it with a hat trick. And they ended up winning 4-2. They're actually 4-0 up. And then, I think it was Nolito and Kolarov scored a really good free kick. But, yeah, it wasn't good enough. So.
And two goals in the first 10 minutes for Leicester.
Huge,
they really started quickly.
That was huge, yeah.
They had the momentum from the start. The King Palace sounded like last year with the momentum really swinging that way.
Definitely. And then we had Arsenal versus Stoke. 3-1 to Arsenal.
Pretty routine in the end, wasn't it? You got one of the, you know, great goal from... was that the game with the Sanchez little step over, or was that the week before?
I think it was that game.
That was the week before.
Oh, it was? Oh, that was against West Ham, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I think I watched the second half of that game. Yeah, because you had Theo scoring his, 100th league goal. Yeah. And then Ozil and Iwobi and Charlie Adam penalty. Like, Stoke actually went 1-0 up in that game.
Yeah.
Pretty weak penalty, to be honest. I think it was...
Maybe we play better from behind.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, then moving on, Burnley versus Bournemouth. Another high-scoring game, 3-2 to Burnley.
Yeah, Burnley. I was kind of shocked at that final result.
What about the next game?
Defending was pretty shocking in that game, but Burnley, they needed 3 points to be fair, so fair play to them.
The next game, KCOM Stadium, Hull 3, Crystal Palace 3.
Yeah, this game was shocking. for, like, defending, yeah, awful. Snodgrass, again, kind of bailing out Hull. But yeah, 3-3. It was kind of I think Pardew would probably be like definitely be the less unhappy manager out of those. Even though it was away at Hull, felt like Palace they should have done a little bit more.
But they did get down, and they were down 3-2, and they scored just before the 90th. And it was Fraser Campbell came in late, and that was a big goal for them.
Old veteran.
Just to get points, because you know he's on the hot seat, of course.
Right.
It's only getting worse now as well. I mean, you go back to when they lost that 5-4 against Swansea. I think they won their next game, drew this game, and then we'll get to their... They've lost, like, two on the trot now.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they played United and Chelsea, but, yeah, it's been a bit of a sticky road for Palace. That's what I mean. That was a game that they must have highlighted. We need 3 points in that game.
Take it where you can, basically.
Yeah, so... That's about that for that one.
Swansea versus Sunderland. Swansea with a win. 3-0.
Yeah, Sunderland were poor. Sunderland were really poor. Swans, I mean, you know, give Swans their dues. The atmosphere in the ground actually was really good, from what I remember. And Llorente getting another brace. He had a brace against Palace a couple of weeks before. So.
And Sigurdsson really dominated the match. Uente was the man of the match, but Sigurdsson really was from the midfield.
Everything goes from him. Set pieces, everything. Yeah. He drifts out from that. He doesn't really play that wide anymore. He's kind of like a tuck-in midfielder, like old-school kind of 4-4-2, playing on that kind of left side of the two center midfielders. But, he just dominated
He had the pass off the corner to Uente to really get things going for him.
Yeah.
He's playing well.
Top player.
Yeah. Watford versus Everton.
This was such a poor display from Everton. Watford actually really good. I think they were like 3-1 up, and I think it was just Lukaku. I think Lukaku got both the goals and scored pretty late on, almost too late. But yeah, Watford thoroughly deserved that win. Some good finishes in that game as well.
Troy Deeney didn't score.
Troy Deeney did not get his 100th, mate.
Still waiting.
And he's still waiting.
You guys
know still in my top in fantasy. I've still got him as my striker in fantasy team as
You guys know all about waiting when with Rooney sitting...
I know, yeah.
I know.
He had a good chance today. Rattled the bar.
Yeah. So Liverpool versus West Ham. This is the Sunday games that are coming to last Sunday. kind of disappointing to me that Liverpool didn't win. Didn't get the win on that game.
It was some poor goalkeeping.
The way West Ham have been playing recently, of late, you would have thought Liverpool would have been pretty confident coming into that game.
Especially at Anfield, yeah.
Right. At home.
But they actually went 2-1 down in that game, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Lallana scored. He's been on a great tear of late.
Yeah. If we bring it up to date, it's like his best goal scoring season so far with Liverpool. Mm. And we're only halfway through, so fair play to him.
All right. Old Trafford, this is a bit of a sore point.
For some of us.
Yeah, 1-0 to Manchester United versus Tottenham.
It was actually a really strange game because when you keep bringing up the stats, like I didn't really feel like we were under threat until that late in that second half, like maybe the last 30 minutes or so. But they kept showing the stats of like the possession in that game, and we were getting absolutely dominated possession-wise.
Yeah,
but
it was 60-40, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't... It was really kind of... weird, though, because Spurs usually, when they do have that dominance in possession, a lot more, they actually do that a lot more in the final third, you know, over the halfway line towards the final third of the opposing half. And to be fair, it wasn't, they played a lot more kind of defensive. I think that was that Pochettino-Mourinho kind of feeling each other out kind of thing. And then it came down to a Mkhitaryan goal.
Yeah, he made the difference in that one.
Yeah, he played well.
I don't know that some of the pundits on TV were saying that he was was a November signing for United.
It was, I think it was a poor giveaway in midfield, and I think it
broke. Harry Kane.
Yeah,
seems to be a reoccurring theme with Spurs.
He didn't have
giving
a good
up
game,
the ball in the midfield.
He didn't have a good game.
He hasn't been playing well of late. It seems like he's tired, like he's still trying to get back his match fitness. Since the injury, he's had a few goals here and there, but...
I think he only had one shot in that game as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't on target. It wasn't one of his better games. But actually, pretty decent performance from United in the end to see out 1-0. And like you said, great finish from Mkhitaryan, so we'll take it any which way we can at the moment.
Of course. 3 points is 3 points.
Yeah.
All right, next game, Southampton versus Middlesbrough, 1-0 to Southampton at St Mary's.
There's enough said about that, I think.
We'll move on. Chelsea versus West Bromwich Albion. 1-0 to Chelsea.
Typical Chelsea, right?
But that's what
he's
do.
He's been making the difference.
Punish mistakes, teams. Don't they? It wasn't a clean chance. He's just punished, I think it was Gareth McCauley, like, just got the wrong side. And to me, I'm a firm believer, especially somebody as experienced as that, once he gets the other side of you and you're out of the penalty area, you haven't been booked, just hack him down. Hack him down. I bet Tony Pulis was going mental after that game. Just hack him down. Take your book in. Free kick, real wide angle, you've done your bit. But to just let him kind of breeze past you, put your arms in the air like, I'm not going to touch him, I'm not going to touch him, and then it was one hell of a finish. Great finish. So
apparently, Conte lets some of his players drink beers after the matches.
That's what he said.
One beer, one cola. But the picture of Diego Costa celebrating in the dressing room is priceless.
Yeah, yeah. I think he gave an explanation as to why he does that, but I didn't actually hear that.
Rehydration.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I've heard that drinking a beer after sports is actually good for the muscles. But
I'll take that.
Yeah. Old wives' tale. Yeah. Old husband's tale, maybe.
I'll take that.
All right, guys, so let's move on. Those are the last weekend results all taken care of. Moving into Tuesday, again, this is the month where all the games are coming thick and fast. Tuesday, December 13th. Bournemouth versus Leicester City.
Such a kind of joke performance from Leicester. Like, they've just thumped Man City 4-2 and then, you know, come into this game and get beat by Bournemouth. Bournemouth didn't actually play great, but did enough to win. Pugh with a goal. Disappointed with Leicester in that game. But you expected them to... I kind of expected them to go on a little bit of a run then. They must have had massive confidence coming off that 4-2 victory.
You really were expecting them to have a better result than that.
Just put in a performance. Against City, every player... If you notice in that City game, every player works so hard for each other. In the last 15 minutes, they were kind of back to what they've been like this season. They were all over the place, gave up two goals. But in this Bournemouth game, they didn't press high. They didn't do anything that they did in the City game. And fair play to Bournemouth.
Bournemouth played well. They deserved it in the end. They dominated the match through and through.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Everton versus Arsenal.
Take it away, mate.
Yeah,
what happened
here?
Off
you go.
Well, hasn't been a very good week for the Gunners. Drawing Bayern Munich in the Champions League, and then after going up a goal at Goodison Park, which has been a fortress, I will remind everyone, as we're going to preview the Merseyside derby later. They have not lost a league match at Goodison this year. I really thought the game could have gone either way. I'm still shocked that we didn't equalize, which is probably one of the most frantic 2 to 3 minutes in Premier League history.
Yeah, it was good. It was really, really good. But, went ahead, didn't you, through Sanchez, who's, your informed player at the moment. I think the biggest killer was the Seamus Coleman goal.
Right before halftime, yeah.
I mean, that's a blow to like any kind of team.
But go back to Sanchez's goal. That was pretty weak, right? That was,
yeah.
That was more of a mistake.
Keeper, yeah.
That was more of a mistake by Williams. It just kind of deflected off him. It wasn't anything.
Yeah,
that he did wrong. But then he comes back and gets redemption.
Yeah.
With the second goal.
It was I don't know. For me as well, it took a huge deflection, but it's traveled a long way. It wasn't a great free kick. And for me, it was poor defending from Williams. But for me, Stekelenburg, it was kind of weak wrists. He got a decent hand to it. And like I said, it's popped up off Ashley Williams, and it wasn't a well-struck free kick. For me, I did lean a little bit towards, Williams and Stekelenburg kind of after both. I'm sure after the game, one was blaming one and one was blaming the other. But like you said, Williams got his redemption 86 minutes. And then it was like the most
first
frantic
goal for Everton.
Frantic, 3 minutes of football you've ever seen. How they didn't equalize, Mark said.
Yeah, Yelka gets the red at the end there, too.
Yeah.
Makes things tough for them for the next few matches.
Yeah, he obviously wanted Christmas off, didn't he? Let's be honest. 93rd minute, gets sent off. He wanted Christmas off.
All right, guys, so the next game, Crystal Palace versus United at Selhurst Park. Ryan?
Take it away, buddy.
Yeah, it was... We played really well in the first half. Got very, very lucky with the Pogba goal. Right, it was like the first minute of extra time in the first half. The second minute, actually. And it looks like a bit of a handball from Ibrahimovic.
It looked like a handball for sure.
Chest it down, and then when
Thierry Henry knows all about those.
Yeah, and then when you look at the chest down, it was almost like when you freeze frame it, Pogba's probably like half a step offside as well. It was terrible, terrible officiating in that game. Like there were so many decisions. Rojo for me should have been sent off for his two-footed lunge.
Rojo, what is he doing the last few weeks? He's done it again and again.
I don't know who's teaching him to tackle like that, but it's
and how is he not getting sent off for any of them? He did one against in the Spurs match. He did one here. He did another one later. I mean,
yeah, I have no idea. And then you have James McArthur score really tidy finish. And if you haven't seen this goal, just watch it from the pass from Damian Delaney. Like a Cruyff turn, 20 yards out, and just tease it through to him on a plate. Great finish. And then, the man himself, Zlatan,
mm-hmm.
2 minutes to go. Just a great pass from Pogba and just, a finish that you would expect a world-class player to make.
Yeah, I mean, two things there is Pogba really is coming into his own. And Zlatan, of course, world class. We were talking about who's world class earlier, but he certainly is, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, guys, don't forget, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench. We're all talking about Premier League. You can catch us on 434-284-9470 or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. We're also going live on Facebook wearing our woolly jumpers. It's working. It's up.
Got it working.
So send us some questions, and hopefully if I can see it from here, and like my eyes are squinting, and I wear glasses. It's terrible, that is. Need to get my eyes checked. Hit us up. Any questions, you know, how's your team doing? Let us know. And do you have anything for the boys? We'll read them out. All right, so Man City versus Watford. You know, I was praying that like Troy Deeney would pull through in this one. Obviously, it's against Man City, so hopelessly unrealistic. But
yeah, it was pretty routine, really, in the end for City. Zabaleta scoring,
and then Silva.
Middle to late in the first half, and then David Silva late on. Man City still slightly unconvincing, but they dominated possession in the middle of the park. Kind of changed formation a little bit, and it seemed to work out for them.
Yeah, Zabaleta unmarked at the back post, just sneaks it in for the
first one. It was bad defending from Watford, and to be honest, I've seen a lot of that from them recently, and it's kind of, for me, that Britos that plays back there is just absolutely shocking, but somebody wants to pay his wages, I'm glad it's not me. But yeah, he's atrocious. He just gets pulled from his marker like you wouldn't believe, just schoolboy stuff. But yeah, Watford haven't been good defensively for a couple of weeks, so I'm sure they'll be working on that over the Christmas period. But like I said, fair play, City. 2-0 at the Etihad. Job done.
Yeah. All right, Stoke versus Southampton. Complete draw there.
No.
Move on.
Not much to speak about.
No. Spurs versus Hull at White Hart Lane. No surprise there. I was kind of expecting I was expecting a high scoring game, and it was obviously 3-0 to Spurs. I'll pass it over. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it was great to see Snodgrass not die for a week. You know, all of us have to be happy about that. Spurs looked pretty dominant. They gave up a few chances that never actually got put away. A better team would have put them away. But overall, Eriksen, he had 2 goals and created the third, and almost really should have had 3, if not 4. He is really coming into his own this week, and this year he's become very impressive. At this point, he was 4 in his last 5, or 5 in his last 4, I should say.
Yeah.
And he's been playing really well, and I mean, Kane needs help. You know, it can't be a one-man team.
Yeah.
Right. There does seem to be this pressure, and everyone who follows the Premier League knows this, especially English players, young English players with talent and promise. They just get bogged down with the responsibility. Oh, this guy's going to be the new Wayne Rooney.
If it wasn't the new
Wayne Rooney, it was Michael Owen. And it just, you know, I think you have to be incredibly
strong. The English
strong.
Media just love to just beat on their best players.
That and managers. It's just an absolute show. But
there you go. Pretty much how our country sells newspapers, isn't it? So
tabloid press, there you go.
Well, I mean, there was actually something that Phil Neville said during the week. He said that he tweeted out something essentially saying that the print, like in the old style, is dead, and essentially saying that everyone's just trying to create press through clickbait. And it's not even real news. They're just making up stuff just to get a link.
You know, like the Sun and the Mirror, all those papers back home, you know, when it comes to like August, the whole way through, they're like, well, when the transfer market opens, they're like, oh,
you just don't believe anything.
Who's, you know, Ronaldo's coming back to United, or, you know, Messi's going to City. You know, let's just sell papers, basically.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's the way it goes. All right, at the Hawthorns, West Bromwich versus Swansea. Swansea, I guess, taking another dip again. Can't seem to get it together. 3-1 to West Bromwich. Rondon getting 3.
Yeah,
Swansea is on fire, bro.
He's looked great.
Swansea are poor away from home. Just shocking. They always try to change their formation as well when they play away from home. Like, they attempt to, like, try and almost park the bus. They play with, like, kind of almost like 2 holding midfielders. And it's just, it doesn't work for them. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
And they kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they play away from home. I'm surprised that they haven't kind of figured that out. But
you've got to say, Rondon, 3 goals.
Yeah.
Well.
Of course.
Fair play
to
West Brom. Fully deserved. Yeah. Yeah. And it's always a tough place to go, the Hawthorns, so.
All right, guys, the time is now 20 past 6. All right, welcome back, guys. The next game, Middlesbrough versus Liverpool. at the Riverside. 3-0 to Liverpool. No surprise there. Lallana just seems to be making the difference in all these games now he's back.
Yeah, said a couple of weeks ago when they were having their little kind of dry spell that they were missing him. Just the runs he makes.
Him and Origi are
just... got so much freedom under Klopp. Yeah. I know, like, I'm jumping ahead here, but I know they asked him after... I know it was after this game. You know, what's he done to just kind of change your game a little bit? And he said nothing, really. Just, you know, bruised confidence and that kind of thing. But when you look at the change in system from what it was kind of last year and years before that, he is playing, he has kind of the free role. A lot of people think like kind of Coutinho or Yamane has the more kind of free-flowing kind of areas that he can go, but it's not, it's Lallana. And I said that a couple of weeks ago when they were struggling that they missed him. They missed that kind of intensity in the final third, just drifting between lines. And at the moment, nobody in the Premier League is doing it better. So, yeah, fair play to him.
And Origi got his goal, but he missed a few others that he really should have had.
Yeah, I know.
This could have been way higher score.
Like Mane, I think Mane had like a 7 shots in that game. He definitely didn't have his shooting boots on. But, yeah, no, real good display from Liverpool. Middlesbrough showed some glimpses. They had a couple of decent efforts from set pieces, but... no, proper kind of professional, you know, no one wants to go to Middlesbrough and get that job done. So, yeah, 3-0 away from home, fair play to them.
Yeah. All right, guys, also the next game is Sunderland versus Chelsea. Fabregas.
Good finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Great
Not bad.
Finish.
Not bad. Is he back? Do you think he's going to get a, you know, now that he's back in the team, is he going to stay in the team? Like, is Conte going to keep him? I mean...
I think so.
Yeah, I think you have to. Like, especially, again, it all depends on who they're playing. So I think when they.
30-minute player.
Yeah, no, I think when they play, like, if you like a quote unquote top four, top five team in the league, he'll probably bring Matic back in for that little bit more physicality and stuff like that. But when it is, no disrespect to Sunderland, but when it is kind of a bottom of the. Not, I say bottom half of the league, if you like, kind of team, I think that just. Suits Fabregas just to be able to drift into those
sit back and make the passes that he's known for being
time on the ball, don't he, and just pick those passes because he's one of the best that been doing it, Premier League, La Liga when he was there.
And he seems to like playing the system that Conte has put in front of him. He's unfamiliar to it, but in the last couple games, you know, and I've always been a Fabregas fan, being as you know he was an Arsenal player. It hurt me when he went to Chelsea, but. You know, I'm still not going to hate on the guy to still like to watch him play.
You did have a chance to get him back, and you chose not
to. Wenger passed.
Yeah. So, but I mean, is Fabregas the number one there, or is that Matic? I think Matic is still the number one. I think this is like a resting period time.
In the big games, Matic will play alongside Conte, because you can't really have Cesc and Kante, like Conte in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're both pretty small players. Conte puts himself about a bit, but...
There's no true enforcer in the midfield.
Yeah, Fabregas ain't really a tackler, a harrier, and a battler, so... Mm. Like I said, against the bottom half kind of teams, where he can express himself a little bit more, get more time on the ball, he definitely makes a difference.
Yeah. And cup competitions, too. I see him playing a part in their FA Cup run.
Yeah. Don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us. 4342 84 9470. If you have any questions, give us a call. Or facebook.com/blokesonthebench. And we are going live right now on our Facebook page. So if you have any questions, you can also hit us up on our Facebook. All right. Let me see. What one was that one? That was that one. All right, so West Ham versus Burnley at the London Stadium. You know what? I'm kind of...
Burnley was shocking, mate. Right. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that. It's so poor. So poor. Fair play to West Ham. Mark Noble scoring. I think it was like 48th minute, something like that. But, yeah, it wasn't a great game. There wasn't really much to talk about. But, yeah, Burnley were poor.
It's good to see West Ham really get going at home.
Yeah, they got their season going a little bit now.
Because, like, they've been playing so poorly, and they've had the riots and the various things at home. And this is more of a quiet game.
Yeah. They've actually kind of, you know, started their season off. Like, they had a good result against Liverpool, the 2-2 at Anfield. And then, you know, back it up with 3 points against Burnley. Yeah, I mean, it's a good little run they got going.
Yeah. All right, guys, so let's move on to this weekend. West Brom. Oh, you know what? Actually, you know what? Let's take a break. Let's not go to these results yet.
Okay.
I've got a question I was going to bring up. Who do you think has been, for the whole Premier League, and I know we're only halfway through the season, the best midfielder so far, the best defender so far, and the best forward?
The best defender, I don't think he's played in every game, but certainly for Tottenham, most important, arguably the most important players, Endeavour, he really is the player that seems to give the team confidence from the back forward. Obviously, I'm slightly biased there, but at the same time, I mean, if you look at his contribution to what they do on a weekly basis, he's up there and as good as anyone in the league.
I think as someone you've got to put in that bracket as well. Going to pick a Chelsea player because I think he's been actually really good, and that's David Luiz, which I never thought.
Who would have thought we'd say that?
I know, yeah. Because to be honest, I think he's like completely unreliable. But
well,
this season
he seems
really,
to get
really
Conte's
good.
System.
Yeah, and he's played really well. And I think the other thing with him is that he's kind of taken over the mantle, if you like, from John Terry. Whereas when he played, like John, obviously. Like ran that back four, and then you had like him, and then he left, and then you got Cahill coming in. Da, da, da. Cahill's not that player. He gives you something, Gary Cahill, but he's not. To me, he's kind of a bit of a John Terry kind of. Not wannabe is not the right word.
But you don't build around.
You can't build your defense around him. But I think David Luiz has come in, and he's like, okay, then this is my role, and he's taken to it, and. And, you know, they're getting the results. And he's actually played really, really well. So
they paid enough for him, so.
Yeah.
Midfielder. I'm exactly who you're going to say.
Who I'm going to say for midfield? Wow, see, you got me on the spot now. I wish I'd have known this question before and I'd have thought of some answers.
I'm putting you on the spot. Michael Carrick, maybe?
Carrick's numbers speak for himself, but no, I don't think you can put that in there. I would probably go for. You really have put me on the spot.
Anyone else?
Coutinho.
I'll go for MacArthur. I think he's great midfielder. It's a shame he plays for Crystal Palace, but
right. He's
been really good this year. Putting in decent performances week in, week out. I like him. I like him a lot. I think you've got to maybe put like Kapu in there as well for Watford. Maybe not based on the last 3 weeks, but. I think he's got like 6 goals this season, breaking from midfield. He's had a pretty decent season. And then I think when it comes to, if you're going to go Chelsea, if the way their system kind of works, I suppose you have to put kind of Hazard as a midfielder.
Yeah.
But he's been
just amazing. Brilliant. He's back to where he was before.
And I would
he's
probably
the most
put,
fouled player in the Premier League.
Yeah, and
most
I would probably put Lallana in there as well, and...
No Coutinho.
I'd probably put Mane in it as well. I think he's been really good this year.
What about...
Didn't have his shooting boots on the other
Sigurdsson,
day,
you got to give some love to him.
Yeah.
He's on a poor squad, but he is playing well when he gets his feet on the ball.
And then forwards?
Give him his Costa.
Maybe. You got to say Costa, Sanchez.
Yeah. What about Sanchez?
Yeah, I'd put him up there.
Yeah,
and then of course Aguero. He's played well, but he's been injured. He's been out. But when he's playing, he's leading the line.
He's still a threat, isn't he? I think you got to put Zlatan up there as well.
But number one, I didn't say
lately.
I think you have to go Diego Costa.
Exactly.
I think you have to go Costa, and he's come on leaps and bounds like. I didn't think he started the season. I know he grabbed actually a couple of goals in the first 2 games, but I didn't think he was playing very well. And then I think he had 2 games he didn't score. And since that, so after the first month, he's been brilliant. Just banging him in.
2 things about him. His attitude has improved under Conte.
A lot better.
And he finally seems number 2, which has always been kind of his Achilles heel. His touch has gotten better.
Touch has gotten better, his temperament's better. And you know what? It's always more fun when you win it, mate. I mean, so, especially a striker.
Crack a cold
like
one
him.
After a win.
Like a striker like him, there's no point yelling and screaming at him to get something from him at halftime and after the game. He is a player that you put your arm around and you go, hey, come on, you got this. There's a reason you're in my team. Da, 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 da.
Yeah,
and I think Conte's got that.
One of the things I heard was last year he was going through relationship issues, and so that was what kind of hurt him from a mental perspective. You say you're supposed to be a professional, you're supposed to show up to the pitch every day and, you know, work beyond it, but that's just how it is. It affects everyone, and he was like that, and he was actually wanted to leave Chelsea at the beginning of the year, and Conte really encouraged him to stay, and for me, Mourinho is that. I felt like Mourinho wanted him to embody who he is, that combative player on the pitch, almost like be that like extension onto the pitch. And I don't think that really fit his role. He was like playing the villain. Sure, he's the villain to some degree, but I think that this is he's much more comfortable in this role, I feel. And he's having fun, you know, drinking beers, having a good time. And you know what? When you're having fun, you're going to start scoring.
But that's the thing as well. Like last year, he could have been going through some stuff, and that definitely has an effect. But when the rest of the team is playing so poorly as well, and you're the defending champions, and you're looking at your league position of being like 16th come like the middle of November, I mean, that's just shocking. Shocking. So, like I said, things are always rosy when you're winning, aren't they?
And now you say that 2 years in a row, right, with Leicester being there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, so let's move on to this weekend. The Hawthorns, West Bromwich versus Man United, obviously. Ryan, your
fast start, wasn't it? We needed that. Great cross from Jesse, Ibra, backstick, header. 1-0. I thought we did kind of dominate the game. It was a really good professional performance. Still think Herrera, we didn't put him in the list of the midfielders this year. And if you actually watch what he does, in my opinion, the best midfielder at Man United by a pretty long way. Everyone knows what Carrick can do, but Herrera, week in, week out, has been absolutely brilliant. And then Zlatan again got a little bit lucky with the second one, cuts inside, takes a bit of a deflection, spins in off the post and in. 2-0, good professional performance.
Should have Zlatan been on the pitch?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's actually very good at those kind of little mischievous, I'm going to call it, kind of forearms when he's not looking, but he's already had a look about 5 seconds before. But he's pretty quick to, you know, the good thing is he didn't protest. He knew that he'd caught him, and he picks up, I think it was McCauley or Dawson, and picks him straight up, and that was kind of the end of it. So, you know, again, it's one of those things that people will talk about.
I didn't think it was a red.
I think the ref was smart in that regard. But another great performance. It was a good performance. Another 3 points, and that's 3 wins in 3 games for us. So
3 in the spin.
Yeah,
United are really coming on. It seems like they've all bought into the system.
We're in a slow burner this year, but I think you can't rule us out for a top four.
Can't write us off for a top
And every
four.
Single Definitely time you listen to Mourinho, he was saying before, we were unlucky. We played well, but we didn't get the results. You look at the table, it doesn't look like we're playing well. But if you watch the games, we are playing well. Yeah. Now they are both playing well and getting the results.
Yeah. Right.
And the other thing from that game as well, I'd say as well, is that Mourinho came out afterwards and gave a big shout-out to the fans for the way that they responded to Fellaini coming on.
They threw their jerseys into the stands, right?
Yeah, as a Christmas present kind of token. So every player after the game went over to the away fans and threw their jerseys into the away supporters that travelled for the game. So that was a nice little memento for some people. He gave a shout out to Fellaini because he got some stick in the Palace game when we were about to bring him on, and then he came on in this game and got kind of a standing ovation from the away fans at United. So, you know,
it's because we're classy.
There you are.
Well, you get the true fans and the away ones.
Exactly. And the ones at Old Trafford,
cold night in Middlesbrough.
You get it.
Or not Middlesbrough, I'm talking about West Brom. All right, next game, Middlesbrough versus Swansea at the Riverside Stadium. Swansea just not getting any luck in any of this. Just terrible. I mean, are they going to... Is the right decision to do now to just cut their losses with Rob Bradley or keep him and pretty much certainly get relegated down?
Yeah, but I don't think you can blame the manager.
No, of course not. I think he's in on this. But he hasn't turned it around.
Yeah, but there's no way they're going to sign him and get rid of him right before a January window's about to
let
open
him have
up.
That for a few months.
I think you have to. I mean, who else is out there who's going to come and take? Who's actually going to be willing to take over? Then let's be honest, which is an absolute joke.
Right.
Right now, they're not. I mean, against Middlesbrough, okay, it was at the Riverside. My boy Negredo getting two. He's kind of doing his thing. Darun looks actually a really good player as well, scored in the 58th. But Swansea, just shocking defending all over the place. Midfielders don't track runners. Just like the most... Honestly, I'd love to go and watch a training session for Swansea. Because I don't even know what I'd expect to see. Like, what drills they're doing or anything to, like, combat these problems. They must watch... Like,
I think
every
they're
team,
doing the mannequin challenge.
Every team, yeah. Every team watch video upon video. And teams that are losing watch even more video than the teams that are winning. Not really much point Chelsea or, you know, Liverpool thrashing somebody 3-0 and getting the video out and let's take a look at all the great things we did. Mm. And you in those games where you've won by huge margins, there's probably two or three things that weren't very good that the manager wants to highlight and they'll go through it. They must spend their whole week in the video room watching video because everywhere you look, yes, they have got some good players, but they're not getting the most out of like Routledge. He was really good last year, getting nothing out of him. I'm not sure if Fur even.
Fur's been playing decently well, but overall he's just not up to the.
Those are the players.
Can he be your number one? I don't know.
No, yeah, and those are the players you want to like see step up and drag them across the finish line, and they're not even in contention most weeks.
But if you look at the scoreline, you think that it was domination. You look a little deeper in the stats, it actually wasn't as bad as you made. Swansea had 57% of the possession. They had more shots, not on target. But overall, I think Swansea, they have many, many problems with Bob Bradley at the helm. I don't know if he's the right guy. I never even thought he was that great with the United States
team.
So... And will he be gone before the end of the year? I would make a bet that he would be gone.
All right,
guys, the time is now 6:40. Hello, welcome back, guys. All right, so the next game at the Bet365 Stadium, Stoke versus Leicester City. Leicester City kind of pulled this one back.
It was really good, actually. It was a pretty decent game. Bojan right before the penalty, about 10 minutes before the penalty, which was a definite penalty. I don't know what Danny Simpson was crying about. His arm's like way up in the air like this, and that's supposed to be a natural position. All right. But yeah, so Bojan puts a penalty in, but we had Vardy get sent off for what was described as a two-footed challenge, and I think it was really, really harsh. Really harsh.
Because he had a little nudge at the back, right?
You got Glenn Johnson's kind of nicked the ball away from him, and he's gone to like put his leg out to like try and get a tackle on it, and Johnson's kind of leant into him, they've kind of gone like hip to hip, if you like, and it's just brought his other foot out, and he's just gone straight through. Who was it, Juve or someone like that? I think that was who it was. And actually won the ball, and dude on the ground made an absolute meal of it because he didn't even touch him really. Got sent off.
So how does he go off, and then you see tackles like Rojo and others where there seems to be more intent,
yeah,
and they stay on the pitch. I feel like referees don't even know what a red card is right now.
Well, the thing is, as well, it's tough because they only go with what they see. So everything's based on angle, everything's based on interpretation, and they literally have a split second to decide what they're going to do. And a lot of decisions like that, they get absolutely no help from the official, the linesman, because the linesman is basically waiting to see a pass, and because they're getting scrutinized for offsides, like, you know, being an inch off, and you've got to do it in real time. They never help with decisions like that, the linesman.
I get what you're saying, but then if you look at the Club World Cup, they started using replay for the very first time.
I saw that, yeah.
And, I mean, is that what we should be doing?
I don't like it.
As much as it pains me to say it, sometimes
Luka Modric should like it either.
Sometimes it doesn't, but it does bring talking points.
Well, that's
like, the banter after the game of everyone talking about it. I do think that obviously the ball line technology was definitely something that was needed
Yeah, because that can, the beauty about that, and I'm all for it, because it's instantaneous. It literally, that goes in, and everyone's like, is that over the line? Is that over the line? By the time you said that twice, his watch has vibrated, and he's pointing to the center.
Yeah, but it's just like if you get like the linesman in your ear saying, hey, that's a red, that's a foul, that's offsides, you've got, in theory, the fourth official or the fifth official, however you want to set it up, looking at a screen saying, hey, that's a red.
Yeah, okay, you know, you've already blown the whistle. Do you think then that that fourth official should have the ability to rewind, like scrub through video to make his decision, or should he constantly be watching whatever the live feed is from the broadcaster, and he basically, if the referee goes, I think that's a red, and he says,
a stop and play, you hit the rewind, if not, you know.
Oh, I don't know.
We all have TiVo, just, you know, go back 10 seconds.
It's debatable. All right, next game, Sunderland versus Watford at the Stadium of Light, Sunderland 1-0. 1-0. All right, London Stadium, West Ham 1 against Hull.
Hull are in big trouble.
I know. They're sitting in the bottom, right in the bottom.
Yeah.
Right in the
Noble bottom. Again now.
Yep.
He's got a nice little
West
run of form.
West Ham through and through, isn't he?
Crystal Palace.
Apparently got a little visit from James Corden, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did, yeah.
Next game, Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace versus Chelsea. Obviously, I wasn't expecting much from Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was a pretty...
They're going to keep partying.
It was just a really professional performance from Chelsea. Crystal Palace didn't really offer a lot. In the final third, they were actually pretty poor in this game. It's one of those things, yeah. So I watched, like, really... I watched cool glimpses of the game, but the last 20 minutes where you're expecting, like, an onslaught. Because Palace have got some, like, pretty, you know, attractive football
players.
Playing... Right. Means about them with like the likes of Zaha, Benteke, Townsend. But they had a couple of set pieces, attacking set pieces, Crystal Palace. They couldn't even get a ball past the first man. Like, you got like everyone's banking on the 18 yard box. You couldn't even get it, like Townsend couldn't even get the ball like 20 yards. It's just pathetic. So. I was kind of a bit disappointed with that. But again, Costa on the score sheet.
One question I wanted to raise. Ryan, how long can Chelsea keep this going? The 1-0 wins.
Was it 11?
You can win 1-0 win the whole way and win. I mean,
I'm just saying, when does that get exposed?
It's hard to say, isn't it?
It's Italian football, right?
Yeah.
It's the Italian job.
But here's the thing. We talked about Leicester City. About how this year, I said this at the start of the season about how
they squeezed a lot of 1-0s out.
And you had pointed out that the other teams will have already known and found out what Leicester City were all about. Why is it with this Chelsea team? We already know it's three at the back. What's going on there where people can't?
Well, they've got the thing is a bunch of stuff, right? So they've got world class players. They still had world class players last year, but world class players didn't show up for games. This year, they got world-class players that are showing up. Confidence is everything. And you got to think, these teams, so they're playing against the likes of Crystal Palace, right, and getting a 1-0. They're playing West Brom, getting a 1-0, all this kind of stuff. These are teams, like West Brom, Crystal Palace, that have so much pressure on them. When you're winning and you're playing as well as Chelsea, there's absolutely no pressure. Right. Absolutely no pressure whatsoever.
And the furthest, as the points go higher and you're moving away from everyone else.
But this was a match that was quite tough for them on the road. Granted, it's in the city, but they got back from Sunderland super late. I was reading stuff, they got back at like 4 a.m. and you know they came out sluggish. But they did ultimately look like the better team.
Yeah.
All right, so the next games, we're moving into Sunday, today's games. Obviously, Man City played Arsenal. I'm going to pass this over to Mark, and he looks blue.
It's been a rough week, as I stated earlier, to be a Gunner. Champions League draw, finished top of our group, and yet still draw Bayern Munich. Tuesday, disappointing result at Goodison. And, a game that we had said earlier, could have gone either way, could have ended up 2-2, but unfortunately ended up as a defeat for us. Second defeat of the season, first home or away defeat.
So we get our first half.
We did look good in the first half. The thing that pains me about today is that Mesut Ozil, where was he?
Shocking.
Shocking.
He wants a new contract. Difference. Wants a new contract.
We'll play for it.
He won't play for it. That was amazing. Sanchez is like trying to rally the troops, trying to earn his contract, doing his best.
He Ozil, always does that.
Ozil, unbelievable. Like, does he deserve more money or less?
I mean, come on. The thing I noticed in this game is, so first half, City were actually really easy to defend against because both their wide players came so narrow.
And they weren't playing with a recognized striker.
You had like, who was it? Bellerin and who played alongside Bellerin today?
Walcott.
Okay, yeah. And then they're like, they're almost like next to each other, but in like really good distance, probably about like 15 yards and that. They couldn't believe their luck, like splitting De Bruyne on the one side. I've never seen City so narrow in my life.
Well, they subbed Zabaleta at halftime.
Yeah, so then, but
so they brought
half.
In the former Arsenal player, Bakary Sagna. Wenger did have one really funny comment I'm going to make just as a lighter note. He said that City were good clients.
But City second half, like, give Pep his use. They did get wide. They did use the width. And, you know, you only have to look at the two goal scorers in the second half. Breaking from those channels from the other side, the left side player, then tucking in, getting his goal. It was Sané and Sterling, so they kind of figured it out.
Were those goals offsides?
But Arsenal didn't adapt. I mean,
the first one was definitely tight, and the second one was questionable. Wenger is vehemently opposed to the fact that he thought that both of them were offsides. Don't necessarily agree, I just figured it'd be a good talking
I think you have to say... Those were 50-50 calls, and one of them I would say was not offsides. The other was 50-50. You're supposed to give the benefit of the doubt to the attacker. And you know what? You hear it again from Wenger. He's complaining about the refs. He may be the worst sore loser I've ever heard of in any sport.
Yeah.
He has never admitted that his team didn't play as better than the other team. I mean, he did it again. City outplayed them through and through in the second half.
Yeah,
and he's going to sit here and say we should have won the game. We should have drew.
I still remember back in 2001, we beat Arsenal like 6-1. Yeah, just destroyed them 6-1. We beat Dwight York with a hat trick, and after the game, he said, "I think we had something ridiculous like 62% possession, and out. I think Arsenal only had 3 shots, and he said the scoreline doesn't reflect the game."
It's unbelievable. And Ronald Keegan of Everton said, Koeman said that I've beaten Arsenal 3 times, never fair, according to Wenger.
Yeah.
Because he's such a poor sport. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, guys, the next game, White Hart Lane, Spurs versus Burnley.
Spurs looked pretty slow at the beginning. The announcers were saying, hey, let's see how they come out in the first 15 minutes. They looked sluggish. They immediately, within the first 5 minutes, didn't have much of the possession. You could see where the game was going to go. Generally, I feel like Spurs play to the level of their competition, and today was a great example of that. They really didn't get started until Burnley scored the first goal, which was, you know, it was a little scrappy, but ultimately, hey, they deserved it at that point.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, Dele Alli, who looked quite poor, got a goal from a pass from Walker. Walker also didn't look great. He was the one that gave up the first, like in the final third, he gave up a ball that was the first one for the goal. But overall, at the end, Spurs looked the better squad if you look at it over the full 90 minutes, and they got 3 points. Danny Rose came.
That
in.
Was a great finish.
Yeah, and I think the real question that a lot of people say after the end of the game is: should Sissoko have been on the pitch? There was a high kick that he had just moments before that. He had the assist on the Rose goal, but he. Somewhat high kick, a little late. He got a yellow for it. But a lot of people were asking, should that have been a red? Again, I don't know what a red is anymore.
Did anyone, I love stories like this. On a lighter note, did anyone see that story about how when Dele Alli was going to meet Steven Gerrard and he fell asleep?
No.
He went to Liverpool as a possible transfer when he was still at MK Dons. And he made one request in this meeting, if he could meet Steven Gerrard, you know, to kind of lube the deal.
Yeah.
Gerrard passed out, fell asleep. He never met him.
So that's why he's at Spurs. Amazing.
But just to stay, just before we get to the Bournemouth-Southampton game, like to stay with Spurs, because obviously we have a resident Yid Army man here. Am I like right in thinking that Spurs fans feel the same as I do? That I think you still need to get more out of Dele Alli.
Oh, Ali's had a very poor season overall, I would say. If you watch the game, he had so many poor touches again and again. He got on the score sheet, good for him. But if you were to say moments before that, is he going to be putting one, slotting one in? No way. He was just giving up left and right. And you know, there were some publications that said around the summer, said he was the best young player under 21 in the world. He has not played like that.
No.
You know, we're talking about expectations. We talked about Harry Kane earlier. The English press love to put pressure on him. I don't think the press have put a lot of pressure on Ali,
no. But
he sure as hell isn't delivering.
Well,
right
I think
now.
I think one thing as well is like last year, like Son wasn't really took him some time to settle in. Eriksen wasn't very good last year.
No,
so
Eriksen played well. Eriksen played well.
Like, stepped up a little bit, and this year those players are kind of firing at the moment, and yeah. I think
well, Eriksen's in contract
seat.
Talks too, right?
Guys, we need to move on. Last game of the weekend was at the Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth versus Southampton, 3-1. I mean, Southampton.
Great finishes from Rodriguez.
Good to see him back banging him in, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Surgery, yeah.
Yeah, he's had a couple of surgeries the last couple of years.
And that's a good result for Southampton as well. They went 1-0 down. Nathan Aki scored, didn't he, in the first 5-6 minutes. Bertrand scored, make it 1-1. And like you say, two good finishes from Jay. So.
The Bournemouth manager had a great quote. Someone asked him after the game, "Your team looked a little sluggish," and he said, "You know, if they were sluggish, that's my fault. I should have either rotated the squad or been a little easier with them on the training ground."
That's it.
All right, so the table now, as we speak, Chelsea are sitting at number one with 43 points. Man City in 36, Liverpool in 34. Arsenal sitting in fourth, 34 points. Tottenham.
1 point back from the top four.
In fifth, 33.
Forever in our shadows.
Sixth, we're sitting right behind you on 30. Southampton in 24. That's such a big difference there between 6th and 7th. 8th, West Brom, even, on 23. 9th, Everton on 23. And 10th, Bournemouth on 21. And then, of course, I mean, like you said, Hull are sitting in 12th with 12 points to their name.
But
Swansea are sitting on 19th, no better. And Sunderland are sitting in 18th spot.
No.
But the marquee game of the round tomorrow, the Merseyside Derby, Everton and Liverpool at Goodison Park, which I said earlier, Everton have failed to lose there at all this season.
Well, they drew a lot of the times. Do you remember Jagielka's goal from the two seasons back? That absolute rocking into the corner that was in the last 5 minutes? That's, to me, one of the best.
I think I saw on Goalzone today that Everton have not beaten Liverpool since 2010.
That's crazy.
I'm going 3-3 in that game.
And the most red cards in Premier League history of any derby match.
That's a given, yeah.
Someone said that this derby is bigger than El Clasico. That's just silly. I think it was one of the coaches.
I think honestly, the biggest one, El Clasico would be the biggest, I think. But outside that would be the Manchester derby.
Well, now...
The Manchester Derby doesn't have much history.
Well, the El Clasico
it has a lot of
bitterness. El Clasico is like a manufactured derby. It's not really a derby. It's just the two best teams playing against each other. Do you know what I mean? Like Atletico versus Real is
a true derby.
Yeah, El Clasico
a
is
proper
just
derby.
Manufactured.
I mean, nowadays what you probably say is what Arsenal, Chelsea, something like that.
Yeah. All right, so guys, we're not actually here next week. We are back on the 1st of January, so we do have a lot of fixtures coming up. All right, so obviously the game tomorrow, but then we have on Monday, the 26th, Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, Watford versus Crystal Palace, Arsenal versus West Brom, Burnley versus Middlesbrough, Chelsea versus Bournemouth, Leicester versus Everton, Man United versus Sunderland, Swansea versus West Ham, and Hull City versus Man City. That isn't... I'm pretty sure if I'm Hull City, I'd be crying in my...
I might put a cheeky fiver on Hull City to win that game.
Hull City.
They need to
make
something
resolve. All right, so that's Monday, next Monday, and then Tuesday is Liverpool versus Stoke.
Wednesday, the 28th, we have Southampton versus Spurs. And then Friday, the 31st, we have Burnley versus Sunderland, Chelsea versus Stoke, Leicester versus West Ham, Manchester United versus Middlesbrough, Southampton versus West Brom, Swansea versus Bournemouth, and Liverpool versus Man City. That's going to be a cracker of a game right there.
Needed that to be a draw.
Well, yeah, obvious. And then, of course, the day we're back, January 1st, we will be back fresh-faced and not drunk. Watford versus Spurs.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Arsenal versus Crystal Palace.
I'm going Palace 2-0. Sorry, mate.
Versus Palace? No, we'll get back. We'll get back on track against Palace. We really need to get back on track against West Brom.
I mean, the thing that excites me about that, especially being a United fan, against we got Sunderland and then Middlesbrough. Should be another 6 points, hopefully. Yeah. We need to rack them up now. So yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. I'm Andy.
Ryan.
Mark.
Alex.
We'll be back on the 1st. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.